I've been over to the home of Katrina Boardman, who has a creche at her Mylor property with over 100 bats. She's a member of Fauna Rescue Bat Team and a former Monarto and London zookeeper. Here's her story.
I started, yes, about 30 years ago up in Sydney working with wires or volunteering for wires, really just doing birds and possums because it was in the city. I was also introduced to the flying foxes shortly after I joined and have just taken them on. They're just an incredibly intelligent animal, beautiful looking creatures. Yes, they smell a bit, but you know, all animals smell when you get them in a group, even us humans. So, yes, I just wanted to make a difference, and I just took on being specialised with one animal, and flying foxes seems to have come full circle with me. My husband's a wildlife vet. He's doing his PhD on flying foxes. So, you know, it's a bit of a family affair. I met him when I was a zookeeper back at Taronga Zoo, when I was a keeper there, and we've been doing volunteer work all through Africa.
Oh, wow, and you're not the only one migrating. Bats have been moving across the country because of some awful situations in terms of drought and other things.
Yeah, what's been happening this particular season, probably the start of it was the drought up in Queensland, down into southern Queensland and then into New South Wales. Those animals have had no food. So a lot of those animals up there either aborted or they just didn't have babies this year. Then moving down into New South Wales, down to the south coast, again, drought and also the bushfires. All those poor mothers have had to abandon their babies, and volunteer groups all the way down there have been inundated with babies as well. And then coming down into Victoria and South Australia, the heat's got them. We had a terrible heat wave in November. The babies had only really just been born. They were about 4 or 5 weeks old when we got them. You got a lot of mothers that just couldn't cope with that one hot day. So a lot of mothers perished, and we had a lot of babies without mothers. So we brought all of them into care. We didn't have enough carers to give them milk. You know, when you get one or two, you're able to give them bottles of milk. But what do you do with, you know, 30, 40 babies?
What did you do?
Yeah, well, we got them drinking from little bottles that we hung, mainly used for guinea pigs and pet mice, and we'd fill them up with milk, and they caught on to those pretty quickly. The animals started sucking on each other because they're mammals, they suck on mum to get their milk, and ended up having to have 30 separate cages. And I went and bought all these teddy bears, and they all had a teddy bear and a cage and a bottle of milk.
Why the teddy bears?
The babies were starting to suck on each other, so we were getting these terrible wounds. So the teddy bears were sort of like a bit of a comfort. A lot of the babies, we give them dummies, and those dummies are made out of the teats that we use to give them milk. So they would have a dummy, they'd have a teddy. We sort of had to simulate what it was like for them with their mums, keep them warm. So it was a bit of a challenge because not a lot of people have been in this sort of situation where they've had so many babies that young come in.
If you actually look at bats very closely, they are absolutely adorable, and that combined with the teddy bear image. Oh my goodness. But they are pretty misunderstood, aren't they?
They certainly are. People think that they're stinky, they spread viruses and disease. And, you know, it's when you really look at why they're on this planet or why they're with us, they play such an important part of the ecosystem. They mainly feed on nectar from gum trees, so the gum flower. And a lot of the gum trees can only be pollinated at night, so that's why these flying foxes are so important. They also eat native fruits, and with those native fruits they disperse the seed after they've ingested, or they actually pulp their food, and they get the juice out and then they spit out the seeds.
Can we go for a little bit of a wander?
Sure can. on a hot day, it's a pretty hot day today, they usually get a bit of a treat, some nice cold watermelon and a few grapes. We'll go and get some and watch them have a suck on those.
I want some.
Yes, it's very nice. A lot of the fruit that we get is actually for human consumption. So we don't get a lot of rotting fruit, because I just can't use it all if it's, you know, on the edge, because it sort of all needs to be eaten that night. Most of their food, 3/4 of the food is apple, and then the other quarter is a mixture of pears and stone fruit, grapes and melon. I guess the main fruit that we require are apples. We have had the most incredible amount of fruits donated to us. Sometimes I've just been so overwhelmed. It's brought me to tears. There are so many generous people. I have volunteers come every day with chopped apples. I've got a big machine where I put it all into and it slices it all up. So the bats actually aren't eating a whole apple. They're eating an apple that's been cut. So they wouldn't identify an apple to the food that they're eating now.
So they're not going to start raiding all of our apple orchards?
Hopefully not. And if they did, they'd be very hungry animals. But Adelaide seems to be supporting them with enough gum flour at the moment. During the day, the flying foxes, they'll sleep, socialise, groom. Then they'll have another long sleep and then they'll socialise and groom again.
Oh, it's an animal's life, eh?
Yeah, I know. I know. My parents keep telling me animals eat better than we do.
Yeah, you must sometimes forget to look after yourself if you're so caught up in working in care. I know you work as an aged carer as well.
Yes, it takes a lot out of you. It's very hard work, but, you know, it's all worth it in the end. This also gives me an opportunity, if I stand here while they eat, just to check them all, see if there's no broken limbs or any ailments that needs to be seen to. The scene here at the moment is, it's like bees to a flower, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They look very excited.
They are very excited. This doesn't happen every day, so this is a real treat for them.
Sort of like watching when I had two dogs growing up, watching them fight for the food bowl.
But they're actually being pretty respectful to each other.
Yeah, they're not too bad, actually. There's a few scaredy cats out the back. It's really good to see them when they're like this, because I usually come in and just clean and feed. But they're growing so well. They're really good size now. These guys will be released in probably about 3 weeks. Yeah. I've got the 120, there's someone that's got 85, and then the rest are at one other person's place, and they've got close to 200. So,
where are they going to go after this?
We're going to release them back down at the Botanic Park, where the colony is, just near the zoo. The reason why we're doing that here in Adelaide is only because all the other areas around the east coast of Australia are full with babies as well. And we really didn't have an option. We've got the blessing and we've got the support of the council in Adelaide, Botanical Gardens. We've got fantastic support there because they're on the vulnerable species list. There's not that many in Australia. There seems to be a lot here in Adelaide, but we've counted just recently about 16,000 to 18,000, and that's gone down. But we've also got proof that they're flying between Adelaide and Victoria from radio collars. This colony or the camp that's here in Adelaide quite possibly could be permanent, but we do have animals that fly in and fly out. Fly in, fly out. What do they call it?
FIFO?
Yeah, exactly.
Very well travelled.
They are very well travelled.
What should a person do who's listening if they stumble upon a flying fox?
The best thing to do is not touch them. We don't want you to get bitten or scratched. Call Fauna Rescue. Fauna Rescue will send out a vaccinated person and also an experienced person that can rescue them off a fence, barbed wire fence, or from your netting around your trees, or if it's just found near the ground. But if you see a flying fox out during the day, not in the botanic park, then there's something wrong with it. We get a few calls up in the hills here of people finding them during the day, and it's usually because they've got broken bones or their wings are shredded. Yeah, just give us a call.
So people that are exposed to the bats, they tend to have rabies shots, is that right?
Yeah, we're all vaccinated. We're vaccinated for rabies. Also, there's another thing that bats can carry, which is the Hendra virus. A lot of people worry about the Hendra virus, but I can assure people that it's not as bad as people make it out to be.
As though it's more rare, or...?
Yes, with the greyhead flying foxes, yes, they're exposed to it, but they don't shed the virus. The black flying foxes shed the virus, and they are up in Queensland, so there's not been any down here.
And I hear that you'll have a presence at a music festival coming up.
Yes, WOMAD. This is our second year of a tent. As my husband's in university, he is doing his PhD on them. We have a tent to educate people there. So if you want to come along and ask questions, you're very welcome. We're located under the bats. You'll see the big bats there. Just come and ask us whatever you want to know.
Well, thanks so much for your time today and for inviting me into your home.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for coming.